This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The stonewalling of journalists by Republican politicians is testing the skills of even the most dogged reporters. That profile of Governor Ron DeSantis that David Freelander just mentioned was written by Dexter Filkins for The New Yorker. Filkins told me that he spent 2.5 months writing it, even as the subject dodged requests for an interview. Same with the people in the governor's inner circle and the circle outside the inner circle.
It was harder than it used to be. I had a lot of closed doors and a lot of unanswered phone calls and unanswered emails. It was tough going.
So how do you report a profile without the participation of the subject?
Well, that was like the least of the problems. Most of the profiles I've written, they're generally about people that don't want to be profiled. If, in this case, Governor DeSantis had decided to speak to me, it would have been nice to have him. You know, I could have seen him in the flesh, but I doubt he would have said anything that I didn't discover in other ways. The real problem is getting people around him, you know, getting his friends and getting the people he works with and the people that are under his direction. And those are the people who know him, and they're the ones who can tell you about him and what he's like and what he's done. And that was really, really hard.
You said you called people who called people who called people on your behalf.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the people who did agree to speak with you. You actually went to the governor's childhood home and managed to speak with Governor DeSantis's father.
Yeah. That was like the most fun I had on the trip. I drove to Dunedin, where Governor DeSantis is from. I came in off of I-4 from Orlando, and I pulled into a McDonald's, and I changed clothes. I tried to look nice, knocked on his door, hoping he would answer, and he did.
One detail in particular that stuck with me was how, at a young age, Ron DeSantis read the book The Science of Hitting, which was, yeah. I guess, a kind of a philosophical manual for a young baseball player. And the book said, you know, wait for the right pitch.
His father was telling me this wonderful story, pointing into the street, saying, you know, I must have thrown Ron a million pitches. And I think he only swung at 500 of them. And that's DeSantis. He's like super disciplined. He's super focused. He doesn't slip up, and he kind of chooses his moments.
That detail seemed to sort of capture the focus and drive studiousness that he had from like a pretty young age, right? He went to Yale for college. He went to Harvard Law School after that. I think it's easy to look at his aggressive push to reopen Florida during the pandemic and say, this is a guy who doesn't care about science.
Well, as Governor DeSantis, as his detractors call him, soldiers on. The scope of the threat to Florida's most vulnerable only grows.
We're not shutting down. We're going to have schools open. We're protecting every Floridian's job in this state.
But at the beginning of your piece, we hear from a Stanford University epidemiologist who said that, you know, basically he was blown away by how well-read DeSantis was on the research at the time. Quote, he'd read all the medical literature, all of it, not just the abstracts.
Look, I think he's a smart guy, and I think he did his homework. But think about that time that we're talking about here. It's like nobody knows what's going on. There's not a lot of data, scientifically speaking. So everybody's winging it. I mean, look at New York. Governor Cuomo made catastrophic decisions to basically put COVID patients in with nursing home patients. That was devastating to the nursing home population. DeSantis basically took the opposite tack, which is to segregate, I think based in part on the advice of the Stanford epidemiologist that you mentioned, to basically seal off the nursing homes because they were especially vulnerable. A decision like that is part scientific and it's part political. A lot of people, particularly in the press, were, I think, too quick to judge the decisions of elected officials because everybody was doing their best. And again, nobody understood the pandemic. And so, like, in the beginning, when people were saying DeSantis or whatever, I think a lot of that stuff was just, it wasn't fair.
You don't feel that his politicization of mask wearing and vaccination was intended to play into the culture war?
What you're struck by when you talk to epidemiologists is overwhelmingly their humility. They don't claim to know all the answers. They don't claim to know all the science. You will never hear humility come out of Governor DeSantis' mouth. So in public, he makes up his mind, he makes a decision, and he moves forward. And when the criticism comes, he fires back very, very hard. If there's any place where I think you could sort of clearly question his conduct, is not so much in the decisions he made, but in his kind of aggressive and extremely self-assured tone that he took on all the decisions he made. He doesn't take criticism very well.
Ron DeSantis' public health strategy certainly generated like a constant hum of negative press coverage. And from your piece, it's hard to tell whether he really cared or whether he saw there was much to gain from engaging with it. But there was one specific moment with a CNN reporter in January 2021 that gave us a hint at what his press strategy was.
What has gone wrong with the rollout of the vaccine that we've seen phone lines jammed, websites crashing?
It's a lot of demand. I mean, also, I think at the end of the day,
if I could finish my question.
You just said what has gone wrong, so I'm answering the question.
If I could complete the question, though.
So you're going to give a speech or are you going to ask a question?
With all due respect, Governor,
you asked the question, I'm going to answer it.
I'm trying to finish my question.
No, you're giving a speech. You asked the question.
I am trying to ask you
what was interesting to me was out of COVID, out of the pandemic, emerged DeSantis' governing strategy, which I think has basically propelled him to the national spotlight. And that's essentially like picking fights with what he perceives to be the liberal press and the liberal media. And by offering up these either legislation or initiatives that he's doing, like the Don't Say Gay law, the voter security law,
that a U.S. district judge has since described as, quote, a cynical effort to suppress Black voters' access to the polls.
The really egregious one, I thought, was the rewriting of the electoral map to basically cut the number of Black congressional seats in half.
He erased two seats.
Yeah. I mean, I think every one of these controversies, which we all read about, they all kind of unfold in a very predictable way, which is DeSantis puts forward a new policy, which it seems calculated to enrage, you know, a particular segment of the population and of the press. And I'd say most of these initiatives that he does, they're not of all that much consequence, but some of them are. And then there's a big fight and, you know, the liberals get really angry. And then DeSantis says, I'm not going to bow down to the liberals. And then his people applaud. And it just goes round and round and round like that. I think it's kind of reassured his supporters on a pretty regular basis that he's on their side and that the elite institutions of the United States, many of which are kind of dominated by left-leaning professionals, that he's going to stick up for his people against them. And I think that's what makes him popular.
NYU journalism professor Jay Rosen says that the current press relations model for Republicans is to invite negative media coverage and then use it to, quote, create the image of a fighter, which is something you'd kind of described as part of DeSantis's playbook. Can you tell me a little bit about the 60 Minutes debacle?
So 60 Minutes had this segment in which they basically accused Governor DeSantis of something called pay to play, which is he took a campaign contribution, in this case from public supermarkets, and he gave them an exclusive contract to administer vaccines. And they went after him, and he looked terrible in the piece, if you saw it. I think the reality was actually way different, certainly as I discovered, which was that, in fact, and DeSantis actually said this on the air, but it didn't make it into the 60-minute segment, was that DeSantis brought together kind of a number of grocery store chains and drugstore chains and basically said, look, we got to get the vaccines out as quickly as possible. We can do this for everybody, but we got to move fast because it's an emergency. That's a fundamentally different story than what 60 Minutes reported. And I thought it was a cheap shot. And it was pretty clear if you saw the unedited version of that report.
They made a mistake and he was able to say, I'm fighting the enemy of the people and truth is on my side.
They cut out everything that showed that their narrative was a piece of horse manure. These are smear merchants. That's why nobody trusts corporate media. They knew what they were doing was a lie. I knew what they were doing was a lie. They know that we know they're lying, and yet they continue to lie.
the 60 Minutes piece is a great example. You know, I don't know what their motivations were, but, you know, whether it's TV stations or internet outlets or newspapers, they're just more ideologically driven than they used to be. In my case, I work for The New Yorker. I think The New Yorker is perceived as being pretty liberal. I don't consider myself terribly liberal or progressive, but I was a newspaper reporter in Florida for many years and was trained to be as straight as I could be. And that's what I was doing. But it's hard to convince people of that if they don't know who you are and if they've never spoken to you.
You said you don't identify with the so-called liberal media. And you think that a lot of the mistrust of journalists by, say, conservatives is warranted. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
What I think many journalists see in DeSantis is, you know, the kind of racist dog whistle that is his focus on critical race theory, him passing these transphobic and homophobic laws, and they're saying that these are warning signs. It sounds like you're not as interested in seeing journalists sound the alarm in the way that they have.
No, I think 50% of the population of the country doesn't agree with the positions you just laid out. All the tools are available to journalists to bring the facts out and let people make up their minds. And I think that's what's been lost, which is the journalists have taken upon themselves to say, I'm going to tell you, the reader, what you need to think, and I'm going to tell you who's good here and who's bad. I don't believe that's my role. I believe my role is to allow people to make up their own minds. And I think a lot of that has been lost to our detriment.
Don't you think right-wing politicians owe it to readers to talk about their voting records, their policies, what motivates them? Doesn't this hurt the public when they avoid speaking with journalists?
I think all elected officials have an obligation to engage with the public. Some politicians are really good about talking to the press and some are really bad. And your job as a journalist is to try to break through that.
It sounds like your advice to reporters who are having a hard time getting Republican politicians on the phone is try harder.
Try harder. I've been a reporter for a long time, and like a savvy, sophisticated politician who wants to get reelected is going to try to control his or her message. But like, that's your job. Your job as a reporter is break through that. And so am I shocked that the governor of Florida doesn't pick up the phone for me? No, I'm not. But it's not going to stop me from what I'm doing.
Dexter, thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate taking the time.
Dexter Filkins is a staff writer at The New Yorker and the author of the article, Can Ron DeSantis Displace Donald Trump as the GOP's Combatant in Chief? Coming up, a possible solution for abortion access has been in legal limbo for half a century. This is On the Media.